scan wheel to Jane and back again. I think it's great. I just hope I'm still in business by the time you get into the White House.
We can help you, Dan, Jane said.
How? One of the caterer's waitresses came into the living room.
Is there anything else I can get for you, Governor?
Scanwell grinned wolfishly, then said, If the food in the fridge hasn't spoiled yet, maybe you could rustle up some sandwiches for us, honey. And beer, if it's still cold. He turned to Dan. Beer okay for you? Tempted to say he preferred wine, Dan instead nodded. Beer's fine.
I wonder how long this blackout will last, Jane murmured as she went toward the sofa.
Last one was 2 whole days, said Scanwell. Dan felt glad that his complex on Matagorda had its own backup generators, and several days' worth of fuel for them. The waitress went back into the kitchen. Scanwell pulled off his jacket and tossed it onto a chair, then loosened his bolo as he plopped himself onto the sofa beneath a Remington painting of cowboys herding cattle out on the range beneath scudding clouds lit by a glowing full moon. Jane took the armchair angled at the end of the sofa. Dan pulled up a straight-backed chair and sat facing her. So how are you going to help me, Jane? Scanwell's eyes narrowed slightly at Dan's tone. Dan wondered how much the governor knew about the two of them. Unruffled, Jane replied coolly,
The last time we talked, you mentioned the concept of having the government back long-term, low-interest loans for private corporations.
That's right, Dan said. She turned toward Scanwell.
Morgan, did you know that the big power dams of the West were financed that way?
Hoover Dam, the Grand Coulee?
They were built on money raised privately for 50-year loans at 2% interest.
2%? Scanwell asked, his brows rising.
I think it was 2.
And the federal government guaranteed the loans?
Yep,
Dan broke in. The dams got built. They provided irrigation water for desert areas and generated enough electricity to light up Las Vegas and a lot of other cities that wouldn't exist otherwise. And everybody made money out of it.
After 50 years, Scanwell muttered.
Jane said, Dan, I intend to introduce a bill in the Senate that will offer federal backing for similar loans for you.
For a moment, Dan didn't know what to say. He didn't need to say anything because Jane went on.
I'm going to have to be a little creative with the language so that it won't appear that the bill is aimed specifically at helping Astro Corporation. It'll say the government will back loans to any private entity engaged in building major structures in orbit, something like that.
Make it any private group engaged in developing new forms of renewable energy resources, Scanwell suggested. A pretty thin disguise, Dan muttered.
My staff people are pretty good at making up disguises, don't worry.
50 years at 2%? Scanwell asked. With a slight shrug, Jane replied,
Again, my staff people will come up with numbers appropriate for today's money market.
Scanwell rubbed his chin. If you make the wording too loose, some other corporations could line up at the trough.
I can't specify Astro Corporation, Jane said. The bill would be shot down in committee as a special interest job.
Wait a minute, said Dan. Jane, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but by the time you get a bill through both houses of Congress and onto the president's desk, I could be in a soup line somewhere in downtown Houston. And that's assuming that our current president would sign it, Scanwell added, which I doubt. Jane gave them both a pitying look.
Neither of you understand the bigger picture.
Enlighten me, Scanwell said.
Simply offering the bill will make it easier for Dan to raise money now. The prospect of government backing
will mean that anybody who's thinking of loaning me money will wait until the feds come in with their guarantee, Dan interrupted.
Jane countered, No. We'll word the bill so that people who have already loaned money to Astro can apply for federal guarantees for their existing loans once the bill becomes law.
You can do that? Dan asked. It's legal? Smiling knowingly, Jane said,
You'd be surprised at what's in the fine print of most bills.
But the White House won't agree to it. He'll veto the bill, Scanwell said.
Good, let him.
Before Dan could object, Scanwell asked, Let him veto it? Then why? Oh, I get it.
This bill gives you a powerful tool for your energy independence program, Morgan, Jane said, leaning toward him. You can tell the voters that your plan won't be funded out of their tax dollars. It will be paid for by private investors.
And if the president vetoes it,
you've got an issue to club him with, Jane said, almost triumphantly.
Dan sat back in his chair and stared at the two of them, grinning at each other. She's not doing this for me, he realized. She doesn't give a hoot in hell about Astro or the PowerSat or energy independence. She's doing it for him, to help him get elected. Not for me, for him.
Matagorda Island, Texas.
Mr. Randolph?
Dan looked up from his desk.
April said,
The control tower just called. Mr. Al-Bashir is landing.
Dan got to his feet and looked through his outside window. Sure enough, a sleek little T-38 was making its turn for the final approach to the runway, glinting silvery in the late morning sunlight. Dan saw thunderheads building up out over the Gulf.
We'll have boomers this afternoon for sure, he thought.
Do we have somebody at the airstrip to ferry him over here? Dan asked.
That's all taken care of,
April assured him. Good, thanks. Now all I have to do is wait and look like the busy executive when he gets here. Once he had returned from Austin, Dan had looked up Al-Bashir on the internet. Not much there, he found. Born in Tunis, of a filthy rich family, on the boards of a dozen big multinational corporations. Nothing in the tabloids about him. Either he's not a playboy or he's got enough money to keep his exploits out of the scandal sheets. Dan asked April to straighten up his office in preparation for Al-Bashir's visit, while he took a walk around the hangar floor. Still more than a dozen FAA and NTSB people down there, measuring and weighing fragments of the shattered spaceplane, and more in the office building next to the hangar, running analyses on their laptops and driving up Astro's phone bill with calls to Washington. By the time he'd returned to his office, he hardly recognized it. Everything neat and clean, sparkling almost. His desk was bare, Dan saw with some astonishment. I'll never be able to find anything, he thought.
April announced, Mr. Al-Bashir to see you.
Precisely on the tick of 11 a.m. I always heard that Arabs had no sense of timing, Dan thought as he got up from his chair and came around his desk, hand extended. Al-Bashir smiled as he stepped into Dan's office, but he took a good look at April before turning to accept Dan's proffered hand. He was dressed like a fashion model, in a light gray suit and pale blue tie. Dan felt almost shabby in his shirt sleeves and creaseless slacks. They sat at the circular little table in the corner of the office, next to the window that looked out on the parking lot and the trees beyond it. April brought in a tray of coffee and juices, smiling prettily as she put the tray down on the table and left. Al-Bashir followed her with his eyes, a curious little smile on his lips.
Your secretary is quite lovely, Al-Bashir murmured as April closed the door behind her.
Dan nodded offhandedly. Yep, I guess she is.
Is she married?
His attitude riled Dan. Keeping his tone pleasant, he lied. No, but she's got a steady boyfriend. Local police officer and martial arts champ. Big guy, mean as a hungry bear. Al-Bashir's smile faded. Coffee? Dan asked. Half an hour later, Dan was impressed with how much Al-Bashir knew about the technology of solar power satellites. He's no engineer, Dan thought, but he's pretty damn smart.
Power satellites will never replace petroleum entirely, the Tunisian was saying. But they could be able to take over a large percentage of baseload electrical power generation.
Yep, said Dan. If we get a dozen or so power sats up there, we'll be able to shut down most of the fossil fuel electrical power plants on the ground. Maybe all of them.
Only the fossil fuel plants? What about the nuclear?
Dan hesitated a moment, wondering how much he should tell his visitor. Then he said carefully, Fossil fuel plants put out greenhouse gases. Nukes don't. Burning coal and oil and natural gas is causing global warming.
Many eminent scientists don't agree that global warming is real.
Yeah, I know. But global temperatures are creeping up every year. If we could shut down the fossil fuel power plants around the world,
an enormous if
Al-Bashir interrupted with an upraised finger.